So we have a few people that are going to come this morning to share about we have a little bracelet that says Watch for God. So they're going to come and share how they saw God move. So Layla, okay, this is Layla's very first year at Kids Camp. She served with fifth grade girls.
I had fifth grade girls, and I had two girls in my cabin, Ariana and Frankie. And Frankie had a very hard life, I learned, and she was a struggle at the beginning of the week. And when she would always want to be alone, and it was really hard for us. And then she finally opened up to us, and it was a blessing to me, and it was a blessing to everyone else in my cabin. And it was, and I saw her earlier today, and she gave me a big hug, and I just love her so much. And the other one, Ariana, she gave her heart to the Lord the very last day of camp, and she came up to me and she said, "Layla, I want to be saved." So we took her up to Jody, and she became a Christian, and I saw it, and it was a great experience. Camp was a great experience for me, and it made me realize how much God really does work in our lives and how much God works in the kids' lives, and it was a great experience.
Thank you, Layla. And then we have Rebecca somewhere, right over here. Rebecca Teal. This is her second year.
So I was with Layla this year, and, you know, we really got to know each other, but we also got to know Frankie and Ariana, like she said. And I connected more with Frankie this week, and, you know, I learned a lot about her life, and I learned what kind of person and she is, and she's a really great girl. You know, at the end of the week, I was talking to her, and she's like, "You know, I'm really going to miss you." And I said, "Oh." And we decided that I would be her kind of big sister. And I really got to see God work through not only Ariana when she accepted the Lord, but also Frankie. You know, she has her reasons for being mad sometimes, and I'd be mad too. But, you know, I saw the Lord work through her, and she went up to people who she didn't even know and was hugging them, and she's like, "Here, let me pray with you." And so that was really cool to see. So it was a good week. Thank you.
And then we have Jen Teitzel is going to come, and this is her first year at Kids Camp. She worked with third and fourth grade girls.
I am absolutely honored to be a part of this church and get to hang out with your kids. Starting with the littles, you guys have amazing children. Like, they're fun, and they're nice, and they're respectful. They have their minutes because they're kids, but I know adults that have minutes, so it's fine. But they are good, good kids, and they have a heart for Jesus. And even though they don't show it all the time, it is there, and they love him, and to watch them worship and interact with each other was just awesome. They're good kids. You guys have good children, and you're doing things right. And these youth, I am so impressed with these youth. Like, to have good teenagers be mentors to these little children, they are making an impact in your kids' lives. And it is a positive impact, and they love these kids. Like, it's not because they have to. They love these kids, and they devoted their whole week to the kids. It wasn't about them. It was about the kids and making the kids happy and getting the kids to love Jesus and getting the kids to know Jesus. And to see the youth do that, it was awesome. And then the leaders gave up their whole week and everything, and it was just all about the kids. And I am so honored to be a part of this, because this church loves kids. And the children are the future, and the church knows that, and I'm just honored to be a part of it. It was wonderful.
Thank you, Jen. Together, we recognize that about just over 16 children gave their hearts to the Lord for the first time. And so that's awesome. Give God a praise. There's, you know, earlier, this is probably the first year where we've had some kids with disabilities that came, physical disabilities. We had a young man that was on crutches all week because he was right in the middle between surgery and he's getting a new, oh, Danny, help me with the word again. Prosthetic. Thank you. I can't say that. My tongue isn't working today. But he was just amazing. I wish you could have seen this kid. I think he's a fourth grader, and he's a nephew of Marina Sandoval. And a couple weeks before kids camp, she came to me and said, I told him he can't go because of his leg. And I said, we'll work with him. I don't think that should be a reason he doesn't go. And he really wanted to go. And so he came. He was on crutches all week. And you have to remember, kids camp is on a hill. And there's like 40 steps up to the chapel. The manager has this little cart that he takes some people around. I don't think Brendan got in it at all. He went up that hill. There's a stairwell and there's also a road. He went out and, you know, he ran down on his crutches. It's like, Brendan, slow down, you know. I think he bit it once, but he got right back up. And he was on the dock. He didn't have his crutches. He would just hop. I'd fall and hurt myself, okay? He's just amazing. And then we had Sam, too. And Sam, it was his first year. And it's so great to see us being able to include kids with physical limitations. And, you know, and they're not limitations. You know, and they just moved, and it was great to see that. That was a first for our camp. Jonathan, didn't you meet somebody? Yes. Can you come and tell? Jonathan met somebody special up there, and so he's going to come and tell him about it.
Okay, so I met this really weird guy. His name's Clark Cavern. Boy, is he special or what?
Jonathan!
Yes, Clark.
Are you talking about me?
I'm just saying how amazing.
You're talking about me in front of all these people. I'm so bashful. That's so great. But let me tell you what. I'm really excited because you know what I got?
What?
I finally got my caving expedition diploma.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm so happy.
I've been working so hard to get this thing. It took me all week. I had to go through caves by myself. I had to go through caves without even being able to see and navigate with just sounds. And then I had to lead a whole group of people through a cave. By myself.
I can't believe you did that of all people.
What are you trying to say?
You're amazing.
Okay, that's great.
God made you special.
It's great, and the only reason, it wasn't even that hard because I only slipped and fell like 3 times.
Yeah.
There's only 3 times. It was great, and I mean, other than, you know, the time that the kid slipped and fell into the water and I tried to help her get out, but then I fell in the water too, and then everybody else had to throw me a life preserver so I could escape. But other than that, it was great, and no flaws, no problems, nothing went wrong.
Good job.
It was so amazing. Now I have my diploma. I'm finally a graduate of the Caving Expedition School.
Way to go.
I know, right? The only reason I was able to do any of it is because you kept telling me that Jesus gives us, what does Jesus give us again? What?
Jesus gives us hope.
Oh, right! I forgot Jesus gives us hope! That was it! I was remembering that the whole time through the cave, and that really helped me get through.
Sure you were. What was the next one?
There was more?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, what was the other one?
Hold on, let me think. Love.
Jesus gives us love! I forgot that! I mean, just now I forgot that. I remember that in the cave, too. I remember Jesus gives us hope.
Sure.
Jesus gives us hope. Jesus gives us love. Jesus gives us...
Courage!
Yes, I remember that one, too. Jesus gives us courage. And yeah, that was it, right? I mean, no.
There were only three. There were five.
There were five?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what were the other two?
Direction.
Oh! How did I forget direction? Man, you're just like the best. You remember? Wait, there was one more.
Power.
And he gives us his power. I was worried about not being able to lead everybody through the cave. Yeah. And you were like, well, it's okay because Jesus gives us power. And I was like, oh! And then I led everybody through the cave because Jesus gave me his power.
Yep.
It was a rough week, but I made it through.
That's good.
I made it through all by myself and Jesus.
That's right.
With Jesus' help. Well, you know what? Thanks a lot, Jonathan. You're like the best caver. Oh, would you look at the time? I gotta go lead my next group through before I get before they get lost.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jonathan. I gotta go now.
I better go help him. There you go.
All right. We have one more person that would like to share. Hal, you're gonna share. Hal's a first timer.
All right.
Have to hold it close.
All right. So some of you know me, some don't. I'm kind of the quiet one, don't say much. But what you got to understand about the camp, because it was my first one. I didn't grow up this way. Don't know much about this. I must say it's really cool not having to shave too for work, just throwing it out there. I enjoyed that part, so I was like, yeah, don't have to shave for over a week. That's kind of selfish. But anyways, the biggest thing I got out of this is hope and why. You know, the first day, I'm nervous. I don't know what's going on. Got the kids there. And you can see the youth standing there, giving them direction on Monday. You know, I'm serving them food, and the kids are pretty excited. You got them jumping up and down. You got the yeller screamers and everyone else. And by Wednesday, you can watch the youth and these kids just get that moment to where, just like me, somebody cares. There's hope out there for me. I had a troubled past. Kids are growing up. They're doing things wrong, just like everybody else. But there is hope. And for this camp, I don't care what age you are, what you think, how you act, or who you know, by Wednesday, you could see hope spreading throughout this camp, whether it was the smallest kid or the oldest adult, the first timer or the person been there since day one. You always get hope, and that's exactly what this camp gives. Every single kid, every adult has that opportunity to feel that hope. And that, just like what's said, let the light shine. And I can't give it enough. I mean, go again. If you've never been, please go. It was the ultimate experience I've ever experienced, even at my age. I've traveled throughout the U.S., training, working with people, but I've never been able to train and just watch like what I experienced at this camp this year. So thank you for the opportunity to work with everybody who was there and play with all the kids. I appreciate it, so thank you very much.
Great.
Wow, what an amazing cave this is. God, this cave is huge. I think I'll call it Cave Quest 2. Following Jesus, the light of the world. Hi. Good morning. You know, I was really excited when I got the call to be camp pastor. Before that was all coming down, I was thinking, okay, Mike, is the ES team ready? Yeah, I want to get this going, get songs picked out, you know, for worship. And then I texted him, Pastor Mike, am I clear to get the green light to pick songs out? And he says, Jody, I want you to consider being camp pastor this year. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. And so I answered the call. I want to tell you, I was honored to be camp pastor this year. I want to tell you that. Our first day was Jesus gives us hope. You know, and I was thinking, God, that's the first day, so how do you want me to connect that? I want the kids to know who you are. I want them to know who God is. And so he's just showing me, Jody, take him through my creation. I said, okay, God, I could see that. And then explain to them after that what hope is. I said, okay, God, I'll do that. So I started out that in order for us to understand what hope is,
We must start from the very beginning. Before there was time and space and even the earth existed, there was God, and God is Spirit. And He created all things in six ordinary days. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness moved across the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that it was good, light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. He did that. And the second day of creation, He created water and sky. And on the third day, He created land, plants, and trees. On the fourth day, He created the sun and the moon and the stars. And the kids were getting it. He created the birds and the fish. On the sixth day, He created animals and man. That was Britton's idea. I'm like, really, Britton? Okay. God created man. Man was His greatest creation. He created everything perfectly. Everything perfectly. So that's what we were going through, God's creation. We did some wonderful fun facts about creation. The tallest trees to grow was over 367 feet tall and over 20 feet wide. There's over 4,600 species of mammals. The greatest mammal is the blue whale. I wanted to keep the kids interacted, and that's what we came up with, the blue whale. All right, and the sun, God placed the sun perfectly, 93 million miles away, perfectly to light our planet and to heat it. He did that. What else you got up there, Britton? People, God's greatest creation. You know, and then I said, the next part of my talk is this. It's about you. It's about me. It's our sin problem. God planted a garden, and in the middle of the garden, He planted this tree, and that was His tree. And He gave Adam a commandment. He said, "Of all the trees of the garden you can eat from, you may eat from, but do not eat of this tree. For the moment when you do eat of it, you shall surely die." And so God started naming the animals and taking care of the animals. And I was telling the kids that, you know, maybe sometimes, I wonder what Adam must have felt like when he noticed that the animals were multiplying and being fruitful. And God saw that in Adam. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. So He caused Adam to fall into deep sleep. And He took a rib from Adam and He made woman, which means out of man. God brought man and woman together, the first marriage, the first family. And the kids were getting that too. Our sin problem. But I told them, I said, you know, of all the animals, the most craftiest one was the serpent. This guy right here. He came into the garden and he approached Eve. He said, "Did God really say that if you was to eat of this tree, you would die?" And Eve said, "Yes, of all the trees we can eat from, but of this one, when we eat of it, we would die." And He said, "That's not true. For the time that you do eat of it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God. You will know good and evil." And so we know the story, don't we? That Eve took the fruit and ate of it. And gave some to her husband, Adam, and he ate of it too, entering sin. Sin came into the world. And I wanted the kids to know that. God wanted them to know that. It wasn't God's plan for sin to come into the world. In fact, He says His desire is for no one to perish, but to spend eternity with Him in fellowship. Adam and Eve, when they took the fruit, they were the first family to break fellowship with God. Before that, they walked with God in the cool of the evening, and they talked about things with God. But when And they were not ashamed. But when they did take the fruit, they broke fellowship with God. And they became afraid and ashamed. And I told the kids, sin separates us from God. God cannot be around sin, you ones. He cannot. He hates sin. Then I had my two little guys come up, my campers. I'll have Noah and Sean. Sean, come here. Sean, and then there's Noah. Sean represents you, and Noah represents Jesus. You know what to do, Sean. Noah, spread your arms out. So I said to Hunter, was my illustrator, but Sean's it today. I said, we are covered in sin the moment we're born. Okay? We are covered in sin. And God cannot be around sin. So God had to do something about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So Jesus, who lived a sinless and perfect life, went to the cross on our behalf. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as the Bible says. And so God put all of our sins on our Savior. At that moment, Jesus gave his life. No one took it, but Jesus gave it up. In that time, when he gave up his last breath, was, it is finished. God took that off. And now, how do we respond to that? How do we respond to that? Thanks, guys. The kids responded. They did respond to that. They understood what sin is and what it does to us. And I told them that sin can kill us. And I told them that God created a place for the devil and his angels to go. That one day, that's where Satan will go to. That's where he belongs. And then we talked about, what do we talk about next? Courage. Jesus gives us courage the second day. How Jesus called Peter out of the boat. Jesus walked on the water and he said, hey guys, is that a ghost? They said, he says, no, take courage, it is I. Peter says, if it is you, Lord, call me out to you. He said, come. So, this is my little illustration for the kids, that this is our boat. And Jesus calls us out of the boat. He wants us to trust him with our very lives, with everything that we come against, all of our struggles, all of our worries. He wants us to step out of the boat and trust him. Third day, God gives us direction. And I talked about the Ten Commandments. I told them we're halfway through the cave. But God wants us to know but which way to go. And so I start talking to him about the Ten Commandments. The number five focusing on mostly was honoring your father and your mother. For God brought man and woman together as marriage, as family. And I said, there's no compromise. God says, honor your father and mother. Has anyone here ever dishonored your parents? Raise your hands. You should have seen all those little hands raise up. Has anyone here ever lied before? Raise your hands. Has anyone ever stolen anything before? Raise your hands. All those little hands came up. And I said, by our own admission, we have broken God's law. We have broken fellowship with God. And the way that God sees us in righteousness, means without sin, is that we do something about it, we respond. Our ABCs of becoming a Christian. A, admitting that I'm a sinner. B, believing that Jesus is God's son and he died on the cross for my sins, rising on the third day, overcoming death, the devil and his angels. Amen to that? And C is confession, telling someone, Jody, guess what? I gave my heart to Jesus. I did my ABCs. I was hearing that at camp throughout the week. Oh, my goodness. And the next day was about Jesus gives us love. So when my little girl was 18 now, when Gracie, when Hannah was born, I said, wow, she looks like Tweety Bird. She had this great big head, blue eyes. And so Mom and I got her a pillow, and a Tweety Bird pillow. And she lost it one time, and so we tried to find it. So I was in Goodwill one day looking for my illustration props, and I saw this like this. I thought, hey, my love talk. Awesome. So I grabbed it, and bang, there's Tweety. I thought, all right, I'll give it to Hannah after I'm done with my love talk. How do we know that Jesus, God loves us? Because Jesus died for us. That's how we know. And we talked about that, about love. And then power. God gives us power. Power to what? To overcome all of our obstacles, everything that, I was telling the kids, hey, when you do your ABCs and you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're going to have bump and bruises along the way. There's going to be times when you're going to feel like you're drowning in the ocean, the waves are too big and the storms are too much, but Jesus is going to lift you up. He's going to hold you. His promises are never to leave you nor forsake you. Those kids were responding to that, and we were able to pray with them and love on them. There's a story of this young lady. When Jadeen was baptized, we were all leaving. And I was leaving with everybody, and then there was a tug on my shirt. I looked around. Well, hi, Candace. Hi, Joni. Can I talk to you for a moment? Well, sure. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I said, oh, let's go see Pastor Mike, huh? Let's go see him. So we got Pastor Mike, and we sat down at the bleachers, and Candace gave her heart to the Lord with Pastor Mike, led her to the cross. What a wonderful thing to see when you see a little one be baptized and come out of the water, and then you see another one say, I want that road. Wide is the road that leads to the gate of destruction, and narrow is the road that leads to the gate of eternal life, and only a few finds it. Candace found it when she sat there. Yeah, that was awesome. God moved in so many ways at camp. You know, Pastor Joe said, we're getting back to the basics. And you know what? There's a song about that. Don Mullen sings, getting back to the basics of life. We were seeing so much of God's wonderful spirit moving on our camp. Kids were getting saved. You know what? The gospel message has never changed. It's always stayed the same. One thing that I was telling our other family in the earlier services is this. When I met with the Yes team above on Father's Day weekend when Danny preached, I said, there's four things I want you to focus on. Number one, relating with your campers. Relate with them. Talk about things with them. Get to know them. Number two, create opportunities with them to talk about God's creation, something about God. And number three, right, convict. Convict. Using the Ten Commandments, how Jesus approached the woman at the well, give me a drink of water. You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. You don't associate with us. You will drink from this well again and be thirsty again. But what I offer you is living water. So what Jesus did is he related with her and he turned it into a spiritual conversation. And he said, go get your husband. I don't have a husband. That is true. What you say is true. For fact, you've had five and the one you're with now is not your husband. Who are you? Are you a prophet? Are you greater than our father Jacob who dug this well? And his servants drank from this water and his animals drank from this water? Are you greater than him? I know the Messiah is coming. He will teach us all things. And he says, go get your family and come back. For I am he. He revealed to her. And he convicted her with the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You know what? It was out of gentleness and kindness that our Lord approached her. And that's what our Yes team did with these kids. They were always gentle with them, and they approached them with love and kindness. And it was awesome. And I told them, the last thing is to reveal to them the good news of the gospel. Our kids knew that God created a place for sin to go where the devil and his angels will finally be. They know it. In fact, I had campers come up to me and say, Jody, I don't want to go to hell. I want Jesus so I can go to heaven. Those are real, real conviction and in confessions. They have the right to know what they're being saved and what their hope is in. And I revealed that at the end of my talk on the first day, that hope is having the ability to believe in something that's going to happen and nothing is going to change that from you. That's faith. And that's our hope, that Jesus is our hope, that one day he's going to make it right. There will be no more sin. And in the meantime, we fight the good fight. We keep getting ready for Yes Team. You prepare yourself. You get ready to give the explanation, as Peter says. Be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the answer of the hope that's in you. And do it with gentleness and respect. So the kids were getting it. In fact, the adults were getting it. The gospel message was for everybody. But I'd love to see what these kids, what God was doing in the lives of these kids. It was an absolute privilege to be up there and be an honor to be their camp pastor this year. And I got to tell your story. Presley, Steve, you were there. Stand up and share that, please.
After JD got baptized, we all, you know, left.
Hi.
Oh.
Talking that.
Okay. We were on our way to head back home to get ready for work the next day. And as we're, you know, on the road coming back up out of the lake, little voice in the back seat, Presley says, "Mom, Dad, I really want to give my heart to the Lord." And I said, "Well, Presley, don't you remember us all, you know, in our bedroom?" She goes, "I don't remember." So she was obviously too young. And I said, "Okay." So we pulled off around the corner and I said, "Maybe you should wait a little bit." She goes, "No, Dad, I want to do this now." And I said, "Okay." So we pulled off right at the corner where you can see the mountain overlooking Clear Lake, really pretty. And I took my flip-flops off and put them down in the crunchy gravel, and I got on my knees, and we said our prayer that Jesus would, you know, and it was just really touching, because when Presley opened her eyes, she had tears, and I, you know, and then I had tears as well, and it was just really touching. And it's just amazing that one act of faith with Jade getting baptized can have such a ripple effect on so many people. And it's I love the Lord, and he's just working miracles in our life. And thank you.
Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may his face always shine upon you. Amen.
Our camp is really based on one idea, and it's really this. It's the greater to the lesser principle in the Bible. It's that those people who are in a different position, maybe they're older, or they have more resources, they have more strength, they have more knowledge, they go to those who have less. That's a fundamental principle of the Christian life. It's really what this whole camp is built on. We did have camps before. And the idea was that we wanted to do something different, where we would really build a community that would be a reflection of really following Jesus. Because following Jesus really has two big ideas. The first idea is this: you have to take responsibility for yourself. In other words, you have to take care of your own heart. You have to say, "I'm going to turn my life over to Jesus. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow him in baptism. I'm going to take care of my own walk with God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to do the things God wants me to do for my walk with God." And that's really important, to take ownership and responsibility of your own life. We try and teach our kids to be responsible, and we want them to, you know, grow up to be responsible people, to take care of your own heart, your own life. But the problem with a lot of church-going folks and a lot of us is that we think that if we just do that, we've arrived. That's it. Hey, look, I'm taking care of my stuff. I'm doing these basics. But that's really only half of it. Because maturity, you can be immature and just take care of your own stuff. There's a second part. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote this: do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Don't merely look out for your own personal interests. He says you should look out for your own personal interests, but don't stop there. Don't merely look out for your personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So our whole camp is set up so that the adults are there to look out for the interests of the youth. They're there to help them. And the youth are there to look out for the interests of the little kids. And we let them do it. And if they struggle a little bit, then the adults jump in. But our yes team this year and our junior leaders group, they were the best group I can remember in the last number of years, like 4 or 5 years. They're like the top group. They were so, the whole spirit of the camp was so different. They had such a servant heart. And it wasn't about them. It wasn't focused on them. They were just, it was really all of us leaders kind of said, adults said, man, the spirit of this group is so good, so like on track. It's because they were doing this. They weren't just looking out for their own personal interests. They were taking care of their own walks with God. But they're also looking out for others. And that brings me to the second part, that you develop this attitude in yourself, which was in Christ Jesus. And that means this is where maturity comes in, is when you start to take care of others. I'll give you an example. Trevor was one of our leaders, youth leaders. And he was, Trevor, what cabin were you over? Third grade? Okay. So he had third graders. But we had some preschoolers there, like Justice. Justice is awesome little kid. He's about four. He's worth about four kids, actually. He's an awesome kid. But here we're waiting in line to go in for food, and here's Justice and Trevor sitting down on the dirt with Justice, and they're playing with sticks, and they're down there for a long time. And I'm thinking, that's not Trevor's job. He has third graders. That's not a part of his responsibility, but he sees this little kid who needs somebody to pay attention to him. And the greater, he's a youth, the greater to the lesser, he gets down the dirt with him. Folks, Danny didn't have a special little training in the Yes Team training, get down in the dirt with little kids. It's just something about that attitude, like Christ. And you know, I thought, that's what we're trying to do here. We couldn't train that. That's just something we're trying to pull off. That we get out of our selfishness, that church is about me and life is about me and what am I getting out of it? And don't just look out for my own interests, but also for the interests of others. And I saw this happen over and over again. Sandy Sperlin, he came to camp. He didn't know he was going to camp until the day before. And he ends up getting the ultimate cabin, first and second grade boys in the dorm. Now, if you have been to camp, you know that not only is this loud, it doesn't sound good, it doesn't smell good. And yet, here's this guy, he just retired from Sandy's Pizza. These aren't his kids. They aren't his grandkids. They aren't even his step-grandkids. He has nothing, he's got nothing in this for him. But you know what? He just went. And he marched up and down those hills, and he was not just looking out for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. You see, a lot of people here and at camp, part of the Christian gospel, part of the purpose of the church is we're supposed to refamily each other. You didn't come from a good family. You didn't come from a family that was safe and healthy. And maybe you didn't grow up in a family where the older kids kind of washed out for the younger kids like they're supposed to. A lot of the kids that we had never had a teenager do anything but pick on them or bully them or tell them to get out of here, you little disease. Okay? But they go to camp and these kids care about them and they love them and they get it in their mind. Hey, you know what? Relationships can be different. Families can be different. And so when it comes to their family and it comes to their walk with God and their church and their marriage, it isn't about just them. It's about them taking care of others too. And so you take care of your own heart. And then you take care of others. And that's what Jesus did, didn't he? Who, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, and he got down in the dirt with us. Right to the cross. He was willing to do whatever. He didn't. What did he get out of it? Nothing. He did it, the greater to the lesser. Let me ask something. How is that playing out in your life, in your marriage, in your church life, in your family life, with your siblings or with your husband or with your wife or with your kids or with your parents? The greater to the lesser. You have greater resources. You have greater maturity. The more mature you are, the more you look out for those who are less mature. And so you learn to care for others. That's the mark of maturity. Part of what we have in our society is we have a lot of adults that want to act like children. And so the children are kind of left in the wind. And what we need to do is we need to decide, we understand that Jesus laid out the pathway for us. We put our selfish self aside. And we get down in the dirt with each other, and we love each other and help each other. And we look for those that are struggling with things that maybe we're not struggling with, and we help them. And this whole Yes Team, the whole ministry that we have with Kids Camp, that's really what the church is supposed to be all the time. But we just get a little jump start and practice a whole week at camp together. And a lot of our young people have had more practical experience working with kids than people that have gotten a master's in education by the time they get done with this program. Or this ministry, really. I don't even know that we can call it a program because it just kind of takes care of itself. I'm pretty sure that our Yes Team with our junior leaders this year were so good that if us adults hadn't shown up, they'd just run it just fine. So you say, what are you going to do with all this? Well, I want to ask you to take this card and put your name on it. We can pray for you. Maybe you have some areas where you need us to help you. Maybe you want some information, and maybe you want to respond to what you heard today in some way. And here's some possibilities. These are called the next steps. You could check this. I need an attitude adjustment. Maybe you do. Maybe you've been a Christian a long time, but you've kind of slipped into the idea that you're actually a Christian consumer and you're out there looking around for what everybody can do for you. You know, I didn't get much out of that. You go to your church. I didn't get much out of that. Well, okay. Where did you get that idea that that's how you're supposed to think? You need an attitude adjustment. And, you know, it's about giving. It's about the greater to the lesser. And I want to turn from selfishness and pride to follow Jesus. I want to turn from self-indulgence and self-promotion to really following Jesus, because you cannot indulge yourself or promote yourself and follow him. And then pray, I will have strength to serve others in love. You know, it takes a lot of strength to serve others. It takes a miracle to serve them in a loving way. You know, you could serve others like, go ahead, there you go, eat your food, be thankful. That's not what we're after. We're after serving in love. And then lastly, I want to be baptized as soon as possible. It was amazing. You got all these kids giving their heart to the Lord, their little kids, and they want to get baptized, right? They it's so simple to them. I'm going to follow Jesus. Jesus says follow in believer's baptism. Can we do it now? We say, whoa there, champ. We got to talk to your parents. We don't want to jump over them. Well, you know, it's amazing if a third or fourth or fifth grader can figure this out. What's the holdup with a lot of adults? You give your life to Jesus, and then I'm going to think about the first step of obedience. So you need to get this done. If you've followed Jesus, if you're serious, follow him in baptism. It's an important step. We'll take you down to the river and do it. Or we'll use the tank if you really want to, if you want the warm baptism. So fill out this card, and I'm going to have Britton come, and he's going to play a prayer. It's a song he used at camp. And while you're filling out that card, there's some of you here that want to be prayed for today. Every service, somebody's wanting to be prayed for. You know, it's not our practice to close a service without giving you an opportunity to be prayed for. You may want to give your life to Christ, or you may have some need in your life, something that's broken in your life that you need God's deep touch in your life. You want to be prayed for right now. So while Britton plays this, I'll invite you to come, and I'll wait for you just a few minutes. It won't be long. But God's spoken to you, the greater to the lesser. Maybe you need that attitude adjustment. You've been living for yourself. You know, even your Christianity is all wrapped up in you. So while he plays through this one time, it's a great prayer. You see, God wants to meet you for the first time. And if he's already met you, he wants to meet you like it is the first time. He hasn't changed. He hasn't moved. It's us that moves away. I'll wait for you.